hopefully till the end of Zaman. Wanted to speak about a phenomena which begins in our parsha and continues a little bit later into Sefer Vayikra in Parshat Bahar. And basically these are the only instances in all of the Torah where these words are found. There are five cases, five mitzvot, where the Torah, after explaining whatever the mitzvah is, adds the following addendum. V'yareta me'alokecha ani Hashem. Now, some of them, the term that I'm focusing on is v'yareta me'alokecha nati ani Hashem. But only five times does the Torah say that in connection with these mitzvot, v'yareta me'alokecha, that you should fear God. Now, of course, the fear of heaven is something which is hopefully universal. It's something which applies to all mitzvot. So why should it only be mentioned with regard to these particular five? What are the five? So the five, as I said, two of them are in Parsha, three are in Parshat Bahar. The five are the following. In our Parsha, you have the following halakha. Lo ta'ashok et re'acha, lo tigzol, or not halakha, halakhot. Lo ta'ashok et re'acha, lo tigzol, lo talin pulat sachir itchad boker. Do not literally oppress, but ta'ashok means oppress in a monetary way, to cheat. Don't steal, don't take the, to don't delay paying a salary to someone who worked for you. Lo tekalel cheresh, do not curse the deaf. And in front of a blind person, we'll just take the literal translation, do not place a stumbling block. Right? You should fear God. Another pasuk. Mipnei seva takum. Stand up for the elderly. Hadarta pnei zaken. Literally glorify the older person, the senior. Give him kavod, v'yareta me'alokecha. Next, then, Parshat Bahar. 2 weeks, we'll read it. Lo tanu ish et amito. Do not swindle your fellow person. V'yareta me'alokecha. Then, al tikach me'ito neshech v'tarbit. Don't take interest. V'yareta me'alokecha. And then finally, ki avadai hem asher otzeti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yimachru min keret aved. So, referring to Jews, fellow Jews. So, they are my servants, God says. So, therefore, you should not sell them into slavery. And again, lo tirdevo befarech v'yareta melokecha. Do not work him, do not rule over him with difficult labor, and of course the perach here is a reference to avodat perach that the Egyptians gave to us, and that is again v'yareta melokecha. So here you have the five dinim, right? This general halachot of oppressing people in terms of the and culminating in lifnei iver lo titen michshol, the idea of honoring the elderly. Lo tanu ish et amito, don't swindle, the idea of interest, and finally, the halachot of Eved Ivri. So what is the idea of v'yareta melokecha? So here, it's important to take a look at this on several levels. On a pshuto shel mikra level, what's the idea of v'yareta melokecha? So if you take a look at the Torah in Sefer Bereshit, Sefer Shemot. So you'll see that the notion of Yirat Elokim appears in a very specific type of context. And it's a context which is universal. It's not even necessarily a Jewish context. In fact, most of the time, it's not a Jewish context. I'll give you an example. When Yosef is still presenting himself to his brothers as the Grand Vizier of Egypt. So what does he tell them? He tells them after he's taken them and put them into prison for a few days. Okay, so then he says, "Vayomer aleihem Yosef bayom ha-shlishi, zot asu v'chiyu." This is what you're going to do. Et ha-elokim ani yare. I fear God. And then he goes on and says that if you are truly honest, so then you'll go back and you'll bring Binyamin, etc. Whole story. Okay? That's one example. Or the miyaldot, the midwives. And the midwives are not necessarily Jews. We don't know who Shifra and Pua are. You probably may be familiar with the Midrash that connects them to Miriam and to Yocheved. But there is another Misorah that views them as non-Jews, and they're called miyaldot ha-ivriyot, the midwives, not Hebrew, Jewish midwives, but of the Hebrews. And they were Egyptian women. And they do not kill the newborn Jewish males, even though Paro has commanded them to. And the Torah says why? Vatirena hamialdot et ha-elokim. They feared God. And therefore, they did not do it. And finally, and if you will, a negative sense, when the Torah speaks of Amalek and tells us that they attacked us on the way, Asher karcha baderech veizanev et kol hanecheshalim acherecha, that they happened upon you on the way, and they came from behind, and those who were straggling in the camp, va'ata ayef v'yagea, and you were tired, you were weary. Velo yare elokim, and they did not fear God. What does all of these instances have in common? Is that A, they're dealing with non-Jews, and B, it's a situation where a person has the ability to act immorally with no repercussions. Right? Yosef is the ruler of Egypt. If he kills the brothers, nobody's going to say boo. The midwives are commanded by Paro. They're just following orders. They're protected by the law. Amalek acting like Amalekis do. They attack the weak. They're predators. And here, the Torah calls this Yirat Elokim. What's Yirat Elokim? Yirat Elokim is a sense of saying, I'm not going to do something that I can get away with. I have a situation where I can take advantage of another individual. I can cheat him. I can swindle him. I can charge interest. I can place that stumbling block before the blind person. No one is going to know. No one is going to call me to task for it. There's only one who will call you for task. V'yareta me'elokecha. And so all of these instances where the Torah tells us v'yareta me'elokecha are all instances where you have the upper hand, you can take advantage, power corrupts, and the Torah says don't allow that power to corrupt you. You have to act morally, you have to act properly, and the only one who is going to be watching is Elokecha. And here, the idea that the Torah is saying already back in Sefer Bereshit is that this is not a Jewish concept. It's a universal concept that applies to every human being. Every human being is supposed to act morally. No human being is allowed to allow his power or her power to be a corrupting influence that leads that person to take advantage of another individual illegally and immorally. That's what ultimately what Yirat Elokim in its most basic form is, not taking advantage of those who are less fortunate than we are. So that's on a pshat level. Chazal take this one step farther. Rabbi Yehuda in the Midrash explains what is the idea here. So the Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is dealing with the specifically to the halacha of lo tonu, of ona'a, of swindling another person. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Af lo yidle ayinav al hamekach b'sha she'en lo damim. What's included in the idea of taking advantage of the person? Here, what this is what's called ona'at dvarim. To go in to a store when you have no money on you. You have no interest in buying the object. And basically keeping the shopkeeper busy for a while for the fun of it. That's included. Why? Because shaharei davar masur lelev. V'chol ha-davar masur lelev. Ne'mar bo v'yaret me'elokecha. Rabbi Yehuda says, the idea of yirat elokim isn't just simply, oh, of course. That basic idea that you can't be held accountable because you are powerful. You control the situation. But even if you're dealing with this situation where you're not powerful, you're just another guy. But here you can go into now is not the time to get into the halachot, and you know it might not apply in a modern capitalistic economy. However, just doing something for sport and being able to take advantage in this way, keeping someone else busy, so that is davar masur lelev, because now if someone comes to you and says, how could you do that? You know, you just kept him busy for half an hour. Other customers couldn't talk to him. And you say, what do you mean? I was thinking about buying it. Is anyone going to tell you differently? Right? You said, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. And now you walk out of the store. How many times does that happen legitimately? So here, davar masur lelev. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, for example, and all of these psukim, he takes this as a explanation for these halachot, and tries to explain on each and every instance how this is something which is davar masur lelev. Just take, for example, the idea of lifnei iver lo titen michshol. Because lifnei iver lo titen michshol, right, not placing a stumbling block before the blind, doesn't include only the idea of literally, right, there's a blind person and you go and trip him. Right? That's a little bit too crude. It also includes deliberately giving someone bad advice. As you know that, you know, the idea, either for your own personal benefit or just simply because out of malice, but one reason or another, you give someone bad advice. Now it would be now would be a good time to buy Bitcoin, but that might be good advice. Nice. But anyway, but you know, you just tell someone, you know, right before a major fall, that, oh yeah, Lehman Brothers, that's a good stock to be thinking about, right? And that is an instance of lifnei iver, because the person is relying on you, Bernie Madoff. That you're relying on the so-called expertise of the investor, and now because you're relying on him, you're basically blind, right? How many people really look at the fine print? They trust their brokers, and so now this person leads them astray. That's lifnei iver lo titen michshol. But okay, in the case of a Bernie Madoff, when the Ponzi scheme finally falls apart, you can find out. But in most instances, you can always say, well, that's just the market. Right? There's no guarantee of future results, right, based on past results. That is just the nature of the beast. And there's no one to be able to say differently. That's v'yareta me'elokecha. Because again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's in your heart. So that's another level. And here there are so many different levels, and you know, this can be expanded in many, many different ways. I don't want to get into them, but I want to take this one step further. And that's really one, you know, the major idea. Right? Because the Sfas Emes in our parsha from Tafresh Lamed Vav, so he takes this in the following way. It says the following. So he quotes the Rashi, who quotes Rabbi Yehuda, the idea of dvarim hamasurim lelev, those things that are given that are in a person's heart, and only he and God know what truly is in his heart. And then he says, Amnam gam ken yesh lomar she'elu ha-mitzvot ha-tluyin b'lev, because these mitzvot are something which are internal. These mitzvot are something which are devoted to what is in your heart. Al yedei she'mekaymid otan v'zochin li'yirah. Until now, when I've said v'yareta me'elokecha has been the reason why I should refrain from doing the avera. I really want to take advantage of someone. Now, again, I'm not saying this in a way, okay, you know, I have the opportunity. Let's take on the pshat level. Right? I really am able to take advantage of another person, and we all know the rule. Right? Power really does corrupt. And absolute power really corrupts absolutely. And I stop doing that. I become one of the Chasidei Umot HaOlam during the Shoah. I'm the Mialdot HaIvriot, because V'yareta Me'elokecha, because of basic human morality. That's Yirat Elokim. Okay. I take that one step further, the way that Rabbi Yehuda said, and now it's something which is a little more refined, something where I can get away with something, because it's not really taking advantage of power, but it's a question of taking advantage and only myself knowing what is true, and I don't do it, yareta melokecha. But the Sfat Emet said that's both of those sides are only preliminary steps. What happens to a person who perhaps initially only refrains from doing something because of this external Yirat Elokim? I'm about to do something and I say, no, God would not want me to do this. This is wrong. Okay. Sfasema says, you become a changed person when you do that. When you control yourself, when you force yourself, because again, why do you want to do it in the first place? So if you want to do it in the first place, then that shows a certain weakness of moral character, right? People who are tzaddikim, so they would never dream of doing something like that. How could you even think of being malicious in that kind of way? But if I need that, I want to do it, and I stop because of Yirat Elokim, so I'm on the right path. But here the Sfat Emes is saying, V'yareta Melokecha ultimately isn't supposed to be the reason why I stop from doing it. It's supposed to be the result. As a result of doing these actions or refraining from these actions, as a result of forcing myself on a regular basis to improve my moral character, so then I become a Yirei Elokim. That's the ultimate idea. That's the ultimate goal. Not to be a question of simply be the tiger and to create a cage around myself to prevent me from doing harm. But to be a person of moral character who wouldn't dream of doing anything along these lines. That's Yirat Elokim. That's our goal. And Batai, it's not just a question of the Yareitim Elokecha with regard to this. This has to be our ultimate goal on every level. Now, there are people here who've been in the yeshiva since Elul, right? 9, 10 months early, when we think about it. And there are other people who are just started. What's the goal? So yes, the goal is the improvement in the learning. The goal is the improvement in davening. The goal is the improvement in midot and all of that. But ultimately, each and every step that you're taking, each and every step that we should be taking, not only this year, but basically for the rest of your lives, is a way to be improving yourself, a way to be changing yourself, a way to be transforming yourself. That's the ultimate goal. So it comes out these specific ideas because these are ideas where, yes, you can take advantage. Yes or no, no one knows what's in your heart. Yeah, that's the first thing. But then you can use them and use every other thing that you do on a moral level and on a religious level, on a spiritual level, and to turn that into an impetus to be a changed person, to become a person of the Yareta Melech.